Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the You Up Podcast Sunday Special. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. We love a Sunday special, right, Jordana?
Love it. Really get to deep dive. We've got a lot of details. These are always pretty good.
The answer lies in the deets sometimes.
As they say. And now we're, you know, we're in October. We're getting closer to your official cuffing season.
It's coming. As the weather gets colder, you start looking for a human body to wrap around you, right?
Exactly. Couples' Halloween costumes are coming. So.
I can't believe we're already here.
I know.
And it's like a normal Halloween. Like there's no, there are people taking candy and throwing it, you know, 50 yards away at little kids and those slides that went out the door.
What are you talking about?
You don't remember this?
During
the pandemic.
There was a slide?
You don't remember there were these videos, people created slides that would take the candy from their door to the child at the end at the sidewalk.
I did not.
No, these were like viral videos of like, am I crazy? Does anyone else?
Maybe I wasn't on TikTok enough.
I'm looking at everyone. Everyone here is kidless.
John, are you?
I know. What is going on with my feed?
You're like, last year when I went trick or treating,
right?
It was the coolest thing.
Well, it wasn't like people were like, you know, maybe some places they were like, kind of like sending it down a chute.
That's funny. That's the culture you don't get when you're in New York City with no kids. I feel like you do not.
Right. Understand. No one even know. Right, nothing is sadder. I think I saw the saddest thing I've ever seen was a little kid. Walked into like a K Jewelers in New York City in his costume. He's like Spider-Man. Walks out. I see a little kid walk out, little Spider-Man. And he's like, they got no more candy at like a K Jewelers. And you're like, ugh, this is what it's like to be
depressing.
A kid. That's why there are kids grow up. They're 10 and they're all of a sudden they're 25 in this city. Like, there's no childhood here.
That's the issue with raising your kid here. They've seen too much.
Too much. Yeah. They went into a K Jewelers and some person working there was like, we don't have candy, get out of here. And then they're like, fuck it, I'm going to the clubs.
Seriously, right. I'm going to One Oak.
Right. Bottle service, please. Yeah, that's the next step.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I feel like the kids in the city, they're like, they're so used to like homeless people or like, you know, that kind of stuff that they're, and that's me is sad that, that that's normalized for them. Whereas if you get a suburban kid who comes in, there's like some sense of like, this doesn't feel right.
They grow up so much faster. You see it too. Like you just see like a 10-year-old ordering like an iced cappuccino and you're like, what the fuck is this? Like, and then, you know, there's like people hate on the suburbs, but I loved being in the suburb. What the fuck? It was great.
Yeah, I definitely plan to raise kids in the suburbs. Can't have them as a 12-year-old coke addict out here.
A little Berenstain Bear walking around in his fucking, you know.
I used to babysit in the city too. And the kids were just
big money.
So much fucking money like everywhere. And the kids are just rude. They're ruder. They're
really?
Like, yeah. I remember I was sitting with him. I was their second baby. I was their second nanny. They had three kids, and so, but they needed one kid. I was basically the one who would like shuttle the kids who were doing activities to their activities so that the other one could stay home.
You were the shuttle bus.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like the assistant to the nanny.
Wow.
And I remember him being like, one time he had a housekeeper over and he goes, she missed that spot over there. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're six.
Honesty gets mistaken for rudeness and these kids know too much.
Yeah, you're six.
Yeah, how do you know?
How do you know who missed what you clean it?
Right. How do you know what's dusty?
Back from chess camp.
Chess camp. Little nerd. So we're not going to raise kids here.
Yeah. Well, good to know about the Halloween situation, though. We digress.
Yeah. Well, the city kids, you know, there's pluses and minuses to everything in life. You know, like the idea, here's the thing I struggled with the most as a child, like getting to the movies, like convincing your mom to drive you friend was like.
Did you have a carpool mom? Was she like into that?
No, it was always an issue.
Struggle, yeah.
It was always...
Can someone else take you? Or,
yeah,
you
know. I don't got the time! And it's like, just let me walk.
I was always the last to be picked up. Totally feel that.
Oh, my God. So the idea of, like, your life is different when you can just hop a cab to the movies. Like...
Or take the subway. Subway. It's like the kids in Hey Arnold.
Fucking Hey Arnold kids. I don't know.
Anyway, we've got a good episode for you guys. If you want to watch us make fun of New York City kids,
right?
on the
little nerds
on TV, you can go to betches.co/YouTube.
Yeah, get subscribed to the YouTube channel. Yeah, just do it.
Just do it.
It's fun.
You got dates?
I got dates.
October 2nd.
Yeah, I'm coming to Milwaukee, Mohegan Sun, Baltimore, Richmond, Boston, Miami has just been added. I'm going to be in Miami Thanksgiving weekend. So if you're going to South Florida for Thanksgiving and staying the weekend, I'm doing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So like Thursday's Thanksgiving. And then once you've had enough of your family, you come hang out with me.
Love that.
And I'll tell some jokes and stuff. So Miami Thanksgiving weekend. And then the big special taping. It's coming by this time. There'll be a link, I'm sure. Gramercy Theater. We want people to come, ready to laugh, fun. It's going to be great.
It's going to be a great show. I've seen you live. I'm sure that even since then, it's gotten even better. And it was amazing when I saw it. So I'm very, very excited.
I'm hoping you and Sammy and Aileen can come to like some of the pre-show shows.
Oh, yeah.
With your notes.
With our notes?
Yeah. Okay. I want you guys involved in the process. Yeah. That would be fun. Like, you know, sitting there with a clipboard.
Cut
that. Yeah. That joke stinks. Yeah, I want that.
Yeah, let us know. I'll be there.
Okay, good.
Ready to critique.
I want some...
my Simon Cowell. As I've said, I'm the Simon of the group.
Right.
So that'll be fun for me. I want notes. You're not going to Hollywood. You're going to Hollywood. We'll see.
I do truly think that would be very helpful because I want this to explode.
So you want an honest critique?
Of course. I want a dishonest critique.
Do you want to? I mean, there's a sugar-coated critique, and then there's a real critique.
Well, I think at this step in the process, it's like, here are the jokes I'd lose. And I don't think, when someone says at this step, I think they're all fun and funny, but like, I'm trying to get from like an hour 20 to 45. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of preparation.
Right.
You know, I have an hour 20 of jokes is a lot of jokes. There's a lot of fat in there. You know, some of those could be done better or improved. It's not that the ideas are bad or not funny. It's like, okay, what's the tightest
that people way to say this?
Right. Yeah. And I don't think a lot of comics are doing this. Look, I watch some of these specials. You know, there's a lot of garbage out there.
There's a lot of stinky garbage out there.
Right. So, and they're going... they're like me, they're narcissists. They go, I'm wonderful, I'm great, I hear the laughs. Because when you're in a room, you hear the laughs.
I mean, being open to feedback is, I think extremely important. That's why I read every single review of the show.
Right. So there's a reason for that. Yeah. That's why this podcast is so great.
Right.
So,
this show is all about self-awareness.
That's right.
And anyone that can help you get there.
Like, if you guys came to the show, because also, I want this to go towards our audience, but your audience, I want to like pop.
Oh, yeah. The Betches are going to love this. So, guys, stay tuned. It's not going to be released on December
10th. No. This is the taping. Yes. But we want a hot audience.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to get an audience.
That's right. I think we're going to sell out that theater.
I have no fear about that.
No fear whatsoever.
We'll be there front row.
That's right. So, judgy with clipboards.
Exactly.
That's what I want in my front row.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery comes The Competition. Host Shima Oliai was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after?
Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon chair to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to keep up with that same look at home. Even the best blowout brush won't give you that salon shine. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair that I've always wanted. Now I love the way my hair looks and feels. It's like salon fresh hair that starts at the roots. I have the Grow hair serum and I can already tell that it's working. Like, my hair feels healthier. I love that it doesn't make my hair feel oily or sticky. I feel like I'm doing something really healthy for my hair. I also got to try the lash serum and the brow serum. Honestly, my hair has been hard to grow, so I love what Vegamore is doing, and I'm already seeing results. I'm already seeing thicker, faster growing hair. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best looking results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. When I sign up for monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Give your hair the power of a little pink bottle with Vegamore. For a limited time, UUP listeners get 20% off their first order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP. Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
So let's go to the email.
Let's do it. Okay. Hi, Jay, and I'll read it.
Talk about judgy, this email. Wow.
It's quite judgy. Yes. Hi, J&J. Love the pod so much. I found it while I was single and now I'm married. I truly believe your advice helped my entire approach to dating and helped me be more vulnerable in my love life. Thank you for all you do. Now on to my issue. I'm a 31-year-old woman who is married to a 36-year-old man and my husband wants me to lose weight.
Oy. I guess this might be a little too late. There is a trigger warning to be given here.
Sure.
Because there's eating disorders, stuff that's going on in here. You know, hearing, my husband wants me to lose weight.
It's triggering to a lot of people.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. So
there's a great fear for a lot of people also, I'm sure.
Oh my God. Like, especially once you lose weight, you meet someone. Oh my God. What if they don't want my former me?
Or yes.
All this stuff is just mixed in with family stuff and insecurities. And I know it more
very
than
sensitive
as much
subject,
as anyone out there. Right. It's sensitive. The whole thing's sensitive. So to anyone listening, there's going to be some subjects crossed into right now.
Yes. All right. Here's the backstory. We are two people who have struggled with weight and body image since childhood, and maintaining a healthy lifestyle is something we are constantly working at. Exercising together and cooking healthy meals is something that bonded us early on in dating and is still a huge part of our relationship. However, he has always been a bit cold with me about making healthy choices. For context, I have what I would call a curvy body at 5'4 and 145 pounds. My BMI is right at the tippy top of the healthy range of the BMI chart, so technically I'm not overweight or obese. But I also know I don't look perfect in a bikini, if that gives you a good picture.
Well, I mean, honestly, it's too much.
Too much information?
All of that, I was like, I can't believe this is not necessary.
Right, this is someone who is clearly overanalyzing their weight.
Right.
Yes, and, which, and again, I understand why someone would do that, especially if you've had a lifelong struggle.
Totally agree. But I would say to her, like, the idea of, like, you know, I can already see where this is going when she writes, obese, but also don't look perfect in a bikini.
No one looks perfect in a bikini.
What is perfect?
Yeah.
To who? You know, like, this is hokey and stupid, but, like, you know, you see it all the time with, like, those...
Someone's trying to get involved in this recording.
Right. Yeah. Alexa, enough, or whatever, Siri. No, but it's like, what do they say? My getting my bikini body ready.
Summer bodies are made in the winter or something. All that.
Everybody's a summer body.
Yes, everybody's a summer body.
And it's like, that's hokey and cheesy and said by people looking to get more followers a lot of times.
True.
But it's also true.
Yes. So she says, I used to hate my body, and years of dieting in my childhood eventually led to anorexia in my early 20s. Now I am recovered and have a healthy relationship with food, and I've accepted my body for what it is. However, my husband hasn't gone through the same healing journey with his own body, and he tends to operate in a binge-restrict cycle with a lot of weight fluctuations. When we met, it was actually during a time when he was at his ideal weight. Now he has gained some weight, maybe 40 pounds, which doesn't bother me in the slightest, but it kills him. I've actually stayed the same weight for our entire relationship since we met until now. I'm about 5 pounds down right now, but it is barely noticeable, and it is normal for me to fluctuate between 3 and 5 pounds throughout the year while staying the same size and wearing the same clothes. My issue is that he is constantly pointing out what I'm eating that's too fattening, too many carbs, too much sugar, etc., or telling me how I should be working out, like doing more weights than cardio or going to group classes or only having one rest day a week, etc. I genuinely take his advice about working out because he is more knowledgeable than me in this space, but it is exhausting to keep up with all these little adjustments to what I'm doing, and it's annoying that he's never satisfied with my routine. I've tried telling him about my past body image struggles and how I'm in a better and happier place now and no longer want to achieve that size zero body, but he doesn't seem to understand the deep emotional meaning behind my recovery journey, and he has never said anything affirming about me recovering from anorexia. After years of withholding it, I eventually did show him a picture of myself when I was at my thinnest, and he agreed that I looked too thin. However, that is the only sign he's ever shown me that he's happy I healed. For years, I tried to just accept that these comments he makes about food and exercise are more about his own issues than about my actual body. But a conversation with him just a few weeks ago revealed that he actually does prefer women that are much thinner than me. This crushed me because this whole time I had thought I had found a man that loved my body for what it was. He's from another country, and I've heard that men there prefer much curvier women compared to American beauty standards, so I always figured he was one of them. Turns out that is false, and he actually prefers the type of body runway models have.
This is great.
By hand
this is
choose.
Horrifying. Yeah. Can I just interject? This is horrifying.
Yeah.
Also, the idea, and I know what she's doing, she's like, she almost leaned on that.
What?
Like, oh, he's from this country, so I'm good.
Right. You might prefer this.
Right. So I'm avoiding some sort of certain failure with another country's man. Like, it's this is all just a bad mix.
I can understand why she would have this train of thought, though.
Oh, I understand everything she's saying. It's triggering to me. I'm like.
To now know that he would prefer me 20 to 30 pounds lighter is a big pill to swallow. I know I can achieve this weight loss and do it in a healthy way this time, but it makes me sad that I have to. And it makes me wonder what losing this weight will do to our relationship. Will it affect our sex life? How will it affect my self-esteem to have gone through all this just to please him? Not to mention the lifelong effort it will take to maintain this less than natural body type. I don't know what the right thing to do is. Please help. Sincerely, Chubby Betch.
This is all sad to me.
Yeah.
This whole email. I mean, and I don't mean that to be mean. I'm just saying I read this and I was like,
well, it's sad. It's a sad it's a sad situation to be in.
Yeah. And
it's a sad way to think about.
Like the idea that she's like, the only way we can stay married, you know, like they're married.
Yeah.
And she's like, I have to lose the weight. She's saying I have to.
I don't know how this didn't come up before.
But it makes me sad that I have to. It makes me wonder what losing this weight will do to our relationship. You're never going to be...
Why would she have to?
Right. Yeah, right. This is it. This is who you're with.
Yeah.
Like, to me, there's... I'm reading between the lines, but there's a couple things going on. And she even says it. She's like, it's his problem with his own body.
Right. When she says, for years, I've tried to accept that these comments he makes about food and exercise are more about his own issues than my actual body, which I agree with.
Right.
That's
I totally agree.
That's very much true, because if someone's that fixated on what you're doing, it's clearly a projection of whatever their own insecurities are about what they're doing or not doing in this case.
And he needs professional help.
Yeah.
Like, he absolutely does. And I will say this. There's something else in her email that I noticed. The binge restrict thing that he's doing. And because he fluctuates in weight.
Probably punishes himself hates himself for that.
Totally. But here's the other thing. And I'm speaking from my own experience. I think I handled this better, but I will say binge restrict works better as a single guy than it does as a relationship guy.
Okay. Isn't that like an eating disorder thing, though?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm saying I am, as far as like the way I live my life.
I'm sure, because there's someone else around you that wants to eat at times that don't you don't want to eat.
Right.
Yeah.
So like if I go, I just did a weekend on the road. When I come back on a Monday, it's back to like straight and narrow. Mm-hmm. And then you go on the road and you go, you drink and you eat late at night. And then you come back, you go, I got to go back to straight and narrow. You can do that as a single person. Like, and again, that's a version of binge restrict. Like, I know that. And we've said on past episodes, no person out there is going to fix you.
Yeah.
You have to figure out these things. And what this guy is doing is he's now resenting her because he believes, and I do think he's doing this. This is my personal feeling. Is that he's lashing out at her because he believes she is the reason he can't restrict in the way he wants during the restrict days.
Okay.
So like he's going, because again, with relationships comes events and dates and dinners and doing things on a night that maybe you would have been easier for you to do your restrict night. Like,
so you think he's taking that out on her?
I do. I do believe, and to me, this is a, right, problem for a therapist. Like, yeah, what I'm explaining right now is above my pay grade. Like, and because I've been that guy, I don't think I've lashed out, but I've been that guy that's like, you know, like in a relationship and you go, you start freaking out. Like, Tuesday, we got to go to fucking dinner. I just ate all weekend and, right, I want Tuesday to be my night that I don't eat anything. I'd rather eat like egg whites out of a bowl.
Yeah.
And then that person, the person who wants, well, are we going to get chicken and vegetables? And are we going to have a glass of wine with dinner? And it's like, no, I don't want to do any of those things because I'm fucked up.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, she says she's stayed about the same weight and he's gained 40 pounds.
Right. And that plays into it. So he's miserable with himself.
That's almost the biggest reason that he's probably acting like this. He's clearly miserable with the way that if he's been so focused on nutrition and health that she said throughout their whole relationship, that's clearly something that's bothering him.
Absolutely. And so now he's taking it on her. It's bothering him and he's blaming her.
Yeah.
Wrongly.
Yeah.
But when I read this, I was like, oh, I've been in that game.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, as a single guy, like, oh, I can come home and I can eat like a fucking a loser under the light of my computer, you know, having one small, right, meal. You can't do that in a relationship.
And I think the things that he is saying to her are things that he's really saying to himself.
Absolutely.
Like, there's don't no eat that. That's fattening. Too many carbs. Whatever. Telling her how she should be working out. Like, clearly, and again, it's so sad to me that she's putting this whole thing on her body and needing to change her body, because I also promised that wouldn't change your issue. That wouldn't solve your problem.
No, and it's not going to solve. Maybe it moves. It's like moving the deck chairs around the cruise ship, whatever. You're just rearranging where the problems lie. Like if she loses the weight now, she goes, she's uncomfortable. She feels like she's never lost enough weight for him. And now she's comparing herself to runway model. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, that's crazy. Also, like, if you only thing that matters is that you like the way you look. If like, right. And I get what there's a lot that comes into that, but there's some times where it's like someone, you know, the person you're with doesn't like your haircut or doesn't like your outfit or like. Mm. But the most, like, I think you're your best, most confident self when you like it.
Right.
So like. And
I mean, even the way she talks about her body when she's like, I mean, to go back to that, like giving us her BMI, like as if she wrote in and was like, my husband thinks I should lose weight. And and either of us would sit here and go, well, what's your BMI? You know, right. Like, that's crazy.
And here's the thing, I would understand if she was like telling him, I want to lose weight. I'm looking to this. I'm like, and this was like her idea and she wanted some support and maybe like the support that he thought he was giving her support, but not in that way. It sounds like she's pretty happy with her body generally, or at least to the extent that she thinks that he likes it.
Right. This is a big surprise.
Right.
She's dealing with this now. She lived in a world of like, hey, I got this body, and had come to terms with it.
But she only liked the body because she thought he liked it. That's the other issue. I think she could use some therapy too. Like, sure. the goal is to love your body because you love it.
Right.
Not because because then that's also a lifelong struggle in a different way, where now your body only looks as good as he thinks it does.
Right.
You're putting your whole self-esteem on the way someone else is looking at you.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Listen, I see eye to eye with all of this.
And I get it too. I think we all have our thing right. Where we're like, I hope that the person I'm with, like, this is a thing that I pride myself on, or this is something that I want to be loved for. And I'm not sure, does the other person think that way? Does the other person?
Right. And then you hear it and you go, I can't unhear this.
Right.
Like, I can't unhear. And if I gain weight from today, it's worse than it was before. Mm-hmm. If I lose weight from today, I don't know what they think.
Right. They're clearly not okay with that. Are they going to be attracted to me?
Yeah. This is definitely
a couples therapy problem.
Right. And I would also wonder, you know, again, his problem is the binge restrict. I think he's, and because I've been down that road, and that's kind of how I live my life just generally.
Right. His problem is with himself, 100%.
Yes, absolutely. And that stinks. I mean, I remember, I think I've told this story before, but I went to the beach with my family, and like my dad was like, how much do you weigh?
Yes, I remember that.
At the beach.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? And he was like, no reason. And it's like, what you know as a sensitive person, but also someone who cares about their body, you go, that there is a reason. You ask that. You know, there is a reason you're saying the carbs I eat aren't right. There is a reason. There is something behind it. And you want the whole story. And
it's
judgment,
yeah.
You want to know, what was that thought that preceded the thing that I'm probably getting too sensitive about?
Right.
You know, and then, you know, it's like, well, I can't really figure out your fucked upness to deal with my own fucked up. You know, like it's...
It's too much to unpack.
So much.
Yeah.
And she's in a bad space. But like, what do you think about being married? Like, I it feels like they didn't talk about enough before marriage.
Yeah. I mean, it's not too late.
No, never too late. It's never too late.
To work on that kind of stuff, I think, at any point. Just because like I think some people think that. It's like, oh, just because that we're already here, we've decided this is the person that we are with, and we're not allowed to change the way that they interact with me at all.
Right.
I don't think that's true.
And here's the harder thing to say. And thank God we're doing it through a podcast where we don't have to see her face. But
yeah.
He's either upset with himself or the marriage.
You think he's upset with the marriage?
I think there's a version of it where he's pushing her away.
Right.
And he knows.
Right. I mean,
this is a sadistic way to do it. But he knows that if I nudge enough, she'll become annoyed with me, and this can be the reason that we end this. Like, again, there's a foreign country guy, married. This is the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely involves a lot more delving into, which, again, we can't really do on this show, but I would hire a professional when it comes to that, because also the way that you're... what's so painful to me about this email is that the way that this person is speaking to her is actually affecting the way that she thinks about herself.
Right.
And that part is really sad, because you want the person that you're married to be the person that makes you feel beautiful and the best, like the best version of yourself, not like you constantly need to change to get their approval.
Yeah, no, this is... Again, horrible. And if you won't go to therapy, you have to like say, well, how hard are you trying to make us happy?
How much do you care about my happiness in this relationship and how and in the way we interact with each other?
And I like that you said like couples therapy. That's a good idea, because that's like a good, I'm sure Naomi would encourage that, just because.
Well, it's about the way they, it's about him, but it's also about the way that they're interacting. He could probably benefit from both.
Right, right. But I think the easier one is, hey, we can do this because we both need to figure this out, as opposed to like, you need fucking therapy. You know, like, I don't think he's going to respond well to
that. I think that's a better way to go about it, because it's also like, I feel like the way that we communicate isn't making me feel good. And I want to improve the way that we communicate with each other is definitely an easier way to get someone into therapy, even if what you want. And it's funny because Naomi will say this all the time, where it's like, usually when someone comes to couples therapy, it's like them bringing their partner so that she can, so that in the, because they think she's going to tell them that they're wrong.
Right. They have a teammate.
Right. But that's not really ever how it goes. It's very much like a deeper exploration of like the ways that they speak to each other and why.
Mm.
And there's usually no one right or wrong person. Although he sounds pretty wrong from her email. But
but we're only getting
one
side of the story, but I don't doubt. I mean, this sounds
pretty awful.
Pretty awful. Yeah. But we hope that this helped. We hope anyone out there that's in a similar situation is getting the help they need.
Yeah, this is definitely the work. This is definitely a job for a professional.
Right. And, you know, we're just your friends, J&J, nudging you towards the right direction.
Exactly. And I mean, again, she says, like, she's asking, all her questions for us are about what losing weight will do to her relationship.
Right.
But I'm like, so besides the point.
Right.
Like, that's so not the way to think about this problem. And I hope at the very least we could have taken her out of the issue is you needing to lose weight.
Absolutely. Well, this was, you know, I hope I like this one. I like this question.
It's a great question. Thank you for writing in.
Tough thing to say out loud too. Like, I think like this is what this podcast is for, to like take the questions you have inside and you go, I don't know if I could really talk about that. And having other people air them out so that you can hear them.
I agree. Yeah.
So, well, thank you for writing in. We will be back on Wednesday with the second half of our lightning round.
Yes, we'll see you then. Bye.
The U Up Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby, Maddie Paul, and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Maddie Paul. Be sure to follow at u.up.podcast on Instagram and send us your emails to uup@betches.com.
Betches.